And good morning and welcome in. Our sermon today is titled, Not Saved. And our scripture lesson today comes from Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. And while you're looking that up, winter is coming. And so I like to be prepared for things. So this past week, I went to the store. They're actually starting to put out winter wear. And I bought a big heavy sweater, big heavy wool sweater, because I wanted to make sure I had one in place, you know, in these times and everything. And I was wearing it to try to get used to it. And I brought it home and I wore it around the house trying to get, and it's all full of static. And every time I would touch myself, I'd shock and my hair would stand up. And I wasn't happy with it. So I took it back and they gave me another sweater. Free of charge. What? Come on, that was funny. Well, I thought it was. I don't care what anybody else thinks. It'll come to you in a minute. Oh, static. Free of charge. I get it. That's an electrical joke, Paul. It's not funny. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared. All these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go and sell everything you have and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Peter said to him, we have left everything to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied. No one who has left his home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. Many who are first will be last, and the last first. May God add his blessings to these passages as we seek him in prayer. Would you please pray with me? Father, thank you. Open our hearts and our minds and be with us. There are those that cannot be with us today due to the restrictions of time travel and even those fighting diseases and pain. And yet you give us this blessing for this video to be shared at. Father, use it to thy good works and strengthen us through the words that you've given today. May these thoughts, may these meditations lift us up, open our hearts up, and strengthen us in the week to come, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of his children said, amen. All right, I have to make a statement before I start this sermon. And I want you to listen to it very carefully in my best radio announcer voice. The views from this pulpit in no way reflect the views of the congregation here at Longmeadow Church of the Brethren. But they should. There's a radio station I listen to down Balmer called WCBM. And all throughout the morning broadcast, the announcer gets on and says something like that. The views of this radio station does not reflect the views of the general management, but perhaps they should. I'm going to make a rather hard to hear and controversial statement. Now, I am not doing this to try to elicit a response completely. I'm doing this because the past few weeks I have been stewing over a subject. I've been listening to these radio programs and listening to these interviews and looking at what's going on around this world, and have been reading articles and studying on this subject. And it has been on me. And I have come to a very solid, concrete conclusion. I, Paul Nelson Leatherman III, am not saved. I'm not. It has taken several weeks to get to this conclusion. Now, I stand up here in front of you this morning as your pastor to tell you I am not saved. I'm not trying to upset you. I'm not trying to make you wonder, is this it? Is Paul about to announce his retirement? Is there something going on? Is he? How dare he stand up here and tell us he's not saved? No. I want to make sure that you understand something. I'm not saved. I'm not saved. I've been reading over the past few weeks and listening to a lot of different views. There's been, for some reason, and I don't know why, but for some reason out there, there's been a constant influx of information on Christianity, on heaven, on hell, on, oh, dare I say it, Satan, on good works, on love, on deeds. And according to all of this, if you take what the world says, where the world says good people do good things, I agree. There's a lot of great people out there that do a lot of great things. Let me give you an example. Yesterday, we had Bible study, men's Bible study, here at 9 o'clock. Once again, men. The next time will be the second Saturday, September 10th at 9 a.m. Be there or be square. And after we got done studying it, my wife had read that the local grocery store up here called Save-A-Lot had a thing called a Surf and Turf Roadshow. Now, that caught my attention. Surf and Turf Roadshow. And they were going to be selling meat at ridiculously low prices, including ribs and steaks and all those things that God sent down to make me happy. And I said, I'm going to go shopping. Now, understand, me alone in a grocery store is a bad thing, because I beeline right for the meat counters. I want to go back here and see what's available to go into ye old smoker and make me happy. And so I went to the Surf and Turf Roadshow at the Save-A-Lot here in Hagerstown, fully prepared. I put on my battle armor. I put on my face that said, don't come near me. You want to see that face? I was ready to go into the battle. And when I pulled in the parking lot, it was packed. And they had a great big sign out front that said, the Surf and Turf Roadshow. And I was ready to just elbow my way to the meat and to the turf and to the surf and come out victorious. And when I got out of the truck, I said, hey. And I look up at the front of the building, and these people had grills set up in the front of the building cooking meat and hot dogs and stuff, and they were giving away samples. And I said, and I heard the angels start singing, whoa. I was like, this is amazing. And so I went to the store, and I'm going to tell you everything that happened. The place was packed. And I reached for a cart at the same time somebody else did, and they pulled the cart out, and they said, here you go, I'll take the next one. Is this a joke? Well, thank you very much. And we said, thank you. And I pushed my cart into the store, and somebody held the door open for me. Welcome in, sir. Welcome to the Surf and Turf Roadshow. And again, angels, whoa! And I wandered around to that store buying stuff, and every time I stopped, somebody might would be in the way, so I couldn't quite get to what I was looking at. I wanted an eggplant. I am determined to learn how to cook and roast eggplants. Something about them just gets to me. And I couldn't get to them. And I was trying to look around, and the two people standing there went, "Oh, we're sorry, let us get out the way, and you may come in." And I, what is going on? And when I got to the meat counter, the butcher's there, "It's good to see you. How can we help you? What would you like?" Everything. And I went to the counter to check out, and the woman at the counter was so nice. She wore this hat. It looked like it had American flags all over, little lights flashing. And she and I talked, and her name is Janita. And she said, when we got done, she told me this: "Come back and see me. You have a friend here." And I was so touched. I wanted to go shopping again. But I had already spent my allowance. And as I went out the door, by all the meat being cooked, pushing my cart full of goods, man hollered at me from behind the grill, and he said, "Hey, you look like you're hungry." And I said, "Why do the angels sing every time?" I said, "Well, I'd like to have a sample." And they had these big trays full of meat. And he said, and I quote, "Take all you want." I didn't pick the tray up. But I did take samples, and I got in the truck, and I thought, that was a great experience. We come across good people all the time. There's good people around us. For all the bad that goes on, there is good people everywhere. That does not mean they're going to receive the riches in heaven. That does not mean they're saved. And these articles and this clamoring that I hear is, God loves us and would not leave us behind. God loves us and will not punish us. God wants us to live a life that is free and full. The God of our God, and I heard that statement made that way, wants us to have everything we want. And as I listened to that, I realized I'm not saved, and neither are you. When I was growing up, and quite frankly, it goes on today. There's not a lot that scares me. I just don't have that makeup in my brain where I get scared of things real easy. There's about five things in the world that scare me all the time. Number one is when the phone rings and Linda's calling. I'm scared to death. What? No, I'm not. That's not one of five. When I come home from the auction, I'm a little bit nervous. I have a check, but if I write it, I have to justify it. I have a complete fear that one day I'm not going to like to eat meat anymore. That bothers me. But when I was growing up and today, there were these things called chick tracks. And I think they're still being circulated today. And you all remember them little pamphlets that were about that big. And they were these little cartoons. And they were all stories about heaven and hell, and about salvation, and all stories about these. And every time I read them things, the way they were drawn by that man named Chick, and the way them things were, they shook me up. Because they were frightening. Frightening. And today, when somebody hands me one of them things, I hand it right to someone else. Oh, no. I don't even like looking at it. But there's one that somebody gave me that I kept it. It talked about this big fancy preacher who had this big church. And he rode around in his fine car and he would orate. And people would come through the door by the hundreds and thousands to hear these words that would come from his mouth. And he was dressed so dapperfied. And that's a word. I just made it up. I will be submitting it to Webster to be put in. But he was so dapperfied with his fancy suit. And people would come and they would love on him. And he rode in a car in the back of it with a driver. And he entertained politicians and movers and shakers. And yet this fellow, this low-life fella, from the backside of a small congregation, read about him coming to town to preach, and God spoke to him and said, go pray for that preacher because he is not one of mine. And so the man worked to get to him. And he kept getting pushed off to the side. And finally, one of the security guards that almost beat the man trying to get to this fancy preacher who had security guards asked him what the problem was. And the man witnessed to him and changed the security guard's life. And finally, the security guard led him through to the big fancy preacher. And the big fancy preacher talked to the man. And the man said, you're not saved. God has put this upon me. Let's pray. Make sure you're right. And the preacher laughed him off and said, all of the good works that I've done, all of the things that I have brought down, all of these wonderful things, my place in heaven is assured. And the next frame is the big fancy preacher getting on his airplane, and the airplane crashed. And the big fancy preacher is meeting Satan because he was not saved. All of this has been working on me this week and reminding me I, Paul Ann Leatherman III, am not saved. Let's go back to this scripture for a moment. We start off with Jesus out on his ministry. And somebody ran up to him and fell in front of him. The Bible records it right on the knees. Called him good teacher. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, you're calling me good, but the only person that's good is God alone. Now you know all the commandments. You know what you're supposed to do. And he says to him, I do, and I keep them. And Jesus says to him, sell off everything, give it all to the poor, and come follow me. And the Bible records that the man walked away broken. There are people out there that speak to that scripture that say because of that, we should never have anything in our lives. We should not have a very fancy house. We should not have a very nice car. We should not have these things. And I agree with people like that to this point. If those things become everything to you, then you have lost sight of what God's talking about. So let me put it into perspective. I have a lot of things. We make jokes about that. We laugh and carry on. Oh, Paul's yard full of tractors and this and that and the other. And everything that goes on. Well, I'm here to tell you something right now. And let me be very crystal clear on this. If I had to, in order to save what was needed to be saved, all that stuff is gone. Because I can get more things. I cannot get back my soul or the souls that I need to be in part of saving. And Jesus is explaining that to this man. Do this. Give up your riches to follow me. And you'll have more than you can possibly imagine. And when the disciples hear this and they look around, he says that thing to them. How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. For those that think that they can buy their way into the heavens to eternal life by good works and good deeds and money and thoughts. Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. There's a lot of chatter about that verse. I've heard it all my life. Oh, the eye of a needle. You can't put a camel through the eye of a needle. Really? You just figured that one out, Einstein? We all know that. Oh, well, there's a gate in the wall that was called the eye of the needle where a camel had to unpack and stoop down. Do you know that archaeology does not support that? Did you know that there are those great Bible scholars out there and recently read this from the Moody Institute that says if there had actually been that gate, the disciples would have mentioned it. They're talking about something quite literal to make a point when they recorded Jesus' words as he did. A camel through the eye of the needle is more likely to happen than for someone to buy their way into heaven, which makes them what? Not saved. goes on. Who then, I love this line, who then can be saved? Paul Leatherman, the drunk drug user, can he be saved? Can this fellow over here, who's done a lot of bad business dealings, can he be saved? Can this woman who was once a streetwalker be saved? Who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Peter said, well, we've left everything. We follow you. And Jesus said, yes, you did. And I'll tell you the truth, what you have left behind will not have the value at all as to what you gained when you took up and followed me. When you took me into your heart, when you professed my name, when you proclaimed my kingdomship, when you proclaimed me, none of that matters compared to what's coming. And by that very layout, I am not saved. Yet. He made free use of Christian vocabulary. He talked of the blessings of the Almighty and the Christian confessions, which have become the pillars of the new government. He assured the earnestness of man weighed down by historic responsibility. He handed out pious stories to the press, especially to the church papers. He showed his tattered Bible and declared that he drew the strength for his great work from its scores of pious people, and was welcomed as a man sent from God. He showed his outward religiosity with no inward reality. The man's name was Adolf Hitler. I want it known that my thought process is that the world deceives itself sometimes, more often than not, and sometimes we go along with it. Sometimes we find ourselves getting trapped up in the world and forgetting what the simplicity of Christianity truly is. Queen Mary was the largest ship to cross the oceans when it was launched in 1936. The biggest boat of its time. Through four decades and a world war, she served until she was retired and anchors as a floating hotel and museum in Long Beach, California. And yes, that is on one of my lists to go there and see that big boat. During her conversion, her three massive smokestacks were taken off to be scraped down, cleaned up, and repainted. When they lowered them to the dock and began to scrape, all three smokestacks crumbled on themselves. Nothing was left of the 3/4-inch steel that was used to make them. All that remained were 35 coats of paint that had been applied over the years. The steel had rusted away. Nothing was holding them except the outward appearance. I am not saved. And that's where I am today. To know that this is on my heart, to know that this proclamation comes forward. And I'm in the right place today. I'm looking at your faces and I can't see you on the other side of the camera. But you're wondering where I'm going. Well, I'm about to tell you, I know I'm where I'm supposed to be today. When I start to put a sermon together, it starts as a simple idea. I see something happen. I look out. Something triggers me to say, hey man, that's a great subject for a sermon. Thank you. Let me get to work on it. And then it blossoms into whatever it'll be. And then, once I realize where the sermon's going, then I go looking for the scripture to match it. Yes, that's completely backwards as to what everybody else in the world is supposed to do. And I see some of you that have preached before laughing, going, yeah, that's not how it works. You're supposed to take the scripture first and build a sermon. Not in my world. Remember, this is me. This morning, when it came time to put pen to paper and coalesce these ideas together, I laid my Bible down, not knowing what the scripture would be, and opened it, and it fell open to that scripture. The funny part is, a week ago I was wondering if that was the right scripture. In one of his sermons, A.C. Dixon told of an incident that took place in Brooklyn. A detective who had been looking for a local citizen tracked him down, and as he began to make his purchase in a drugstore, the officer said, "You're under arrest, come with me." And the man said, "What did I do?" The detective replied calmly, "You know what you did. You escaped from Albany Prison. You went west and got married, and then came back here. We've been searching for you since you returned." The man said, "Well, that's true. I'm sure you'd never find me. Before you take me in, can we stop and talk to my family?" The officer agreed. When he got to his home, the man looked at his wife and asked, "Have I been a kind and good father? Have I worked hard to make a living? Have I been a good husband?" His wife said, "Of course you have. Why are you asking me all these questions?" The husband explained to her what happened. Apparently, he had hoped that his record as an exemplary father, husband, and businessman would impress the officer. Even though he was still an escaped criminal, though he was right with his family, he was wrong with the state of New York. Brothers and sisters, that is the story of the world. Though we might be right with the world, we can be wrong with God. And that is where this sermon takes its turn. I am not saved except for. Billy Hybels, in his book, Too Busy Not to Pray, wrote, "Sometimes when you're in an airport, observe the difference between passengers who hold confirmed tickets and those who are on standby. The ones with confirmed tickets read newspapers and chat with their friends or they fall asleep. The ones on standby wander around the ticket counter, pace and smoke and smoke and pace. The difference caused by the confidence factor. If you knew that in 15 minutes you would have to stand in judgment before the holy God and learn your eternal destiny, what would your reaction be? Would you pace and sweat and wring your hands? Would you say to yourself, 'I don't know what God's going to say. Will it be welcome home, child, or will it be depart from me? I never knew you.'" I am not saved except for the fact that Jesus Christ died for me. There is nothing in this world I can do to save myself. Nothing. By the world's standards, I am not saved, and I am proud to say that. But by the standards written down in the Bible, by the death of Jesus Christ, by the blood He spilt, by His resurrection, I, you, we make that profession, we make that proclamation, we are saved. We are not saved by what the world says, we are saved by what Jesus Christ says. Amen. Amen. Regarding salvation and assurance, there are three groups of people. There are those who are secure, but not sure. Those who are sure, but not secure. And those who are secure and sure. Category one are conscientious believers in Christ who are saved but lack assurance. And category two, professing Christians will say, "Even though I am living in sin, I will make it. After all, once saved, always saved." The third group are born-again believers who enjoy a warm, secure relationship with Christ each day. They pray, they commune with Him, they talk to Him, and they go from being not saved by the world's standards, but saved by Jesus' standards. The Myers family, so many years ago, gave me this little desk calendar, and I keep it back there, and I read it, and I wait every Sunday to see if something's going to pop up, and it did. From the August 14th date on the calendar comes these words: "One evening, the great and immortal Stonewall Jackson." I added that part because Thomas Jackson is one of my favorite men of history. "Had listened attentively to the view of his generals and then asked them to wait until the next morning to present his own. As they came away, A.P. Hill laughingly said to Richard Ewell, 'Well, I suppose Jackson wants time to pray over it.' Having occasion to return to Jackson's quarters again a short time later, General Ewell found him on his knees and heard his earnest prayers for God's guidance. Deeply impressed by the incident and by Jackson's general religious character, Ewell exclaimed, 'If that is religion, then I must have it,' knelt down next to Jackson, and gave his life to the Lord and Savior." Jesus Christ. That's the definition of being saved. We are not saved by the standards of the world. We are saved by this simple standard. Would anybody like to guess what it is? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I personally am glad that I, Paul Nelson Leatherman III, am not saved, but saved. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We ask that You guide us in our journeys that will be coming this week, and that You lift us up accordingly. Father, we ask that You would show us the way that we need to be, not what the world wants, but what You would have. And let us be group number 3, warmly with You, communicating with You, proclaiming You, praying to You, knowing that when our day comes, we will not be left to wring our hands or pace and wander around. We will stand in front of the Father Almighty, hear our list of sins, and then hear those words. Father, in My book, they are saved. And hear the Father say, "Welcome in to what I have promised you." Let us walk this week proclaiming that to everyone around us, that there may be someone out there losing their fight, and show them that Jesus is real, loving, and kind, and that there is so much more to have. Father, wake us up and strengthen us in the week to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.